Hello, this is Joy Ray Freeman. The following program was produced and broadcast during 2001. I am a master healer, spiritual warrior, writer, and workshop retreat facilitator. My intent is to assist those who are ready to become whole and productive contributors for creating a better world. Please check out my main website for empowerment and or healing opportunities. Joy, number two, letter U, .org. Enjoy the program. This is Joy Ray Freeman, bringing joy to the world. What or who is keeping you or getting in your way from doing what you know you're here to do? Do you feel you are stuck and not moving forward? It's true, there are many interruptions in our day, and there probably always will be. But are you giving up your power and setting your own needs and desires aside, always putting them last? And no, I'm not talking about the joyful sharing, genuine caring we all thrive when we're doing. It's the book you want to write, the classes you want to teach or take, the reading you never get around to. These unfulfilled desires are the fuel for your soul, and bottling them up doesn't serve you or others well at all. So let them flow and fly with me.
Standing in my own way. Oh, here I enough room for two. I'm stepping right over you. Open that front door, 'cause here I come, banging my broken drum. I've got you on the run. I'm winning this old war. There will be no more standing in my own way. Standing in my own way. Standing in my own way.
Peace. I send purity's love to my mighty I am, asking that it instantly ascend to mighty Elohim, Pacifica, and peace, and await their sacred fire's release. Strength and power of the sacred love blaze down victory from above. Thrill and fill me with peace within, as I am one with God's Elohim. Peace be still is Christ's own answer to bodies turbulent with rancor. Pour forth your love into the minds of men, until in love and peace all make amends. Hold the balance within this land. Fulfill the blueprint of His plan. Anchor great pillars of your steel-like force, until we behold God's peaceful course. Thrill the nation with peace's power. Your action of the sacred fire do shower, until peace is one with our life stream. Seven mighty Elohim abide within our being. We feel the stillness within our emotional bodies of purity's love and peace, as the radiation of the great sacred fire presence of peace enters into us. The eternal flame from the seven mighty Elohim of creation. We feel the thrill of health and become a magnet of peace, which holds within it all the blessings of the outer world. Thank you.
1921, when skyward meant a new frontier and aviation's time was young. Her parents said, "What can we do?" But they could not deny that Amelia was a woman who was not afraid to fly. She put her flying to the test. A transatlantic flight those days was hazardous at best. Lucky Lindy had his day of legend in the sky, and Amelia was a woman who was not afraid to try. Just this side of heaven, I didn't know the sky could sing. Now my heart is like a feather, lifting with the sound of She tried to fly around the world to prove a woman might. In search of Howland Island, she got lost in sea and sky. But Amelia was a woman who was not afraid to die.
Time is a created thing. To say I don't have time is like saying I don't want to. By Lao Tzu. I'm always surprised by the number of people who ask, where does all the time go? And why don't we have enough? If you're like me, you've probably asked yourself the same question. Sometimes it seems as though a time bandit steals our minutes when we're not looking, only to leave us feeling frustrated and regretful at the end of the week. The truth is that we control where our time goes. Time is finite. We only get a certain amount, 168 hours a week, 52 weeks a year. And that's it if we don't die first. time is a gift that most of us take for granted. We get so caught up in the busyness of our daily lives that we rarely stop and take a serious look at how we're spending this gift. When is the last time you stopped to consider where your time is being spent and how you feel about it? How long do you really work in a week? How much time do you spend caring for others? How much of your time is spent caring for yourself? Most of us work an average of 55 hours a week. And I'm being generous here. If we count the time spent at the office, commuting, preparing for work, and worrying about work. And that's not counting the 24 hours a day job of parenting for those of you with children. If we add to that an average of 50 hours per week spent sleeping, we're left with 63 hours for shopping, cooking, cleaning, exercising, self-care, errands, fun, friends, family, volunteering, and so on. It's no wonder that time seems in short supply. When you realize that you are in charge of your life and your time is limited, your choices become more important. You'll care more about what you say yes to and what you say no to. One of the ways to take control of where you spend your time is to create what I call an absolute yes list. This is a list of the top five priorities that need your attention for the next 3 to 6 months. Unlike goals or dreams, the first place to focus your time and energy when building strong foundation for your life is on those things that need your attention now. For example, there may be a relationship that you've been neglecting because of overworking, and that it needs your attention in order to heal. Or you may feel financially strapped or overburdened with debt and need to focus on improving the state of your financial health so that you can make the kind of choices that will improve your life. Creating an absolute yes list will help you to remember your priorities, especially when your life gets hectic and you feel like you're losing time. Having this list handy makes it easier to focus your time on the things that are most important, and in doing so, to identify the things that are a waste of your time. After all, once you're clear about the yeses, the noes become easier to define also. Then, when you find yourself wondering where all the time goes, remember, if you don't say yes, the schedule doesn't fill with anything but the noes. That was from Life Makeovers by Cheryl Richardson.
Yes, I love your beauty. I love your sexy moves. But more, I love your honesty. You always tell the truth. I love your vision of the future. Your hope that never dies, but it's your kind. Sky. Yes, I love your wisdom, your knowledge of the past, your willingness to listen, your taste for what will last. I love your compassion for the suffering and your solid happiness, but it's your kindness.
I did not lose myself all at once. I rubbed out my face over the years, washing away my pain, the same way carvings on stone are worn down by water. By Amy Tan. Life batters us, whether we are rich or poor, public or private. The wound we suffer may be an open cut or a slow, silent hemorrhage on the soul. On the outside, we may look as if we've got our act together. But each of us encounters those dark, stormy days when we feel very small, very fragile, and very frightened. As if we might shatter into 1,000 pieces and break into heart-rending sobs at something as simple as, "How are you?" When this happens, we have to be kind to ourselves, not beat ourselves up. Leave that to the rest of the world. Our feelings are valid, our fears very real, even though they are probably not based on reality. Always remember that the best description of fear is false evidence appearing real. When these occasions occur in your life, recall that your first duty is to love yourself into wholeness. How to do this? By pampering yourself with simple pleasures and small indulgences. By treating yourself like the baby you are right now. Could you bring home something wonderful for dinner tonight from a Chinese or Indian carryout? Could you treat yourself to some of the potted daffodils or tulips that are appearing in the shops around? Could you take the afternoon off and sneak into a matinee? If not, how about bringing home 2 or 3 classics from the video store and enjoying a movie marathon with a big bowl of popcorn? Why not delight in an ice cream cone for lunch, taking in the park or basking in the sunshine, and hear the birds singing? What about saying no to the next request for you to do something? Yes, you can. You don't have to do everything and be everything for everyone else all the time. If you think you can't possibly do one more thing without screaming or crying, you're probably right. Start out by saying, "No, I'm sorry, I have a prior commitment." For of course you do. Today you need to be there for yourself. Remember, we did not lose ourselves all at once. But we recover our authentic selves one kind gesture at a time. Thank you. Children learn from observing and by example, as evidenced by these answers to questions. From an elementary school student group. How do you decide who to marry? You've got to find someone who likes the same stuff. Like, if you like sports, she should like that you like sports, and she should keep the chips and dip coming. Alan, age 10. No person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all the way before. And you get to find out later who you're stuck with. Kirsten, age 10. What is the right age to get married? 23 is the best age because you know the person forever by then. Camille, age 10. No age is good to get married. You got to be a fool to get married. Freddie, age 6. How can a stranger tell if two people are married? You might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same kids. Derek, age 8. What do you think your mom and dad have in common? Both don't want any more kids. Lori, age 8. What do most people do on a date? Dates are for having fun, and people should use them to get to know each other. Even boys have something to say if you listen long enough. Lynette, age 8. On the first date, they just tell each other lies, and that usually gets them interested enough to go for a second date. Martin, age 10. What would you do on a first date that was turning sour? I'd run home and play dead. The next day, I would call all the newspapers and make sure they wrote about me in the dead columns. Craig, age 9. When is it okay to kiss someone? When they're rich. Pam, age 7. The law doesn't mess with that. Kurt, age 7. The rule goes like this. If you kiss someone, then you should marry them and have kids with them. It's the right thing to do. Howard, age 8. Is it better to be single or married? It's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need someone to clean up after them. Anita, age 9. How would the world be different if people didn't get married? There sure would be a lot of kids to explain, wouldn't there? Kevin, age 8. How would you make a marriage work? Tell your wife that she looks pretty, even if she looks like a truck. Ricky, age 10. Last week, I took my children to a restaurant. My 6-year-old asked if he could say grace. As we bowed our heads, he said, "God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food. And I would even thank you more if Mom gets us ice cream for dessert. And liberty and justice for all. Amen." Along with the laughter from the other customers nearby, I heard a woman remark, "That's what's wrong with this country. Kids today don't even know how to pray. Asking God for ice cream, why, I never." Hearing this, my son burst into tears and asked me, "Did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me?" As I held him and assured him that he had done a terrific job, and God was certainly not mad at him, an elderly gentleman approached the table. He winked at my son and said, "I happen to know that God thought that was a great prayer." "Really?" my son asked. "Cross my heart," the man replied. Then, in a theatrical whisper, he added, indicating the woman whose remark had started this whole thing, "Too bad she never asks God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul sometimes." Naturally, I bought my kids ice cream at the end of the meal. My son stared at his for a moment, and Ned did something I will remember the rest of my life. He picked up his sundae and, without a word, walked over and placed it in front of the woman. With a big smile, he told her, "Here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes, and my soul is good already." Everyone commands their own universe. In creating your reality, intention is everything. The universe responds to command. The secret here is to consciously and intentionally command with clarity of purpose. You get back exactly what you put out there. Thought is creative. Many people are not aware of what they are putting out. The result of thought is directly proportional to the intensity of the thought, as well as the number of times you repeat the same thought. This happens on both the conscious and unconscious levels of your mind. If you are putting out, "I'm so sick and tired of fill in the blank," the universe responds with, "Yes, you are," and you will be until you change your thought. A thought calls forth energy to materialize the thought into experience. This rarely happens instantly due to the magnificent buffer of time. When thoughts do manifest instantly, it is because they are either sent forth with great intensity, clarity, and focus on the part of one person, or because a group of people are focused on the same thought. The trick is to use this wonderful creative energy intentionally. The easiest way to learn is to create intentionally by starting small and practicing. Try an experiment. When you start your car to go to the store, visualize the trip. See yourself pulling into a parking space. This is playfully known among my friends as manifesting excellent parking karma. You'll find that it works so well, you may want to try something else. You may want to visualize that everything on your shopping list is on sale. When you are visualizing, you are intending. Practice intending. The universe either works randomly or with purpose. When I look at a snowflake, I see purpose. I contemplate a strand of DNA, and I see purpose. Let's call it God's purpose. I'll make a statement that seems to be known by many, but I'll say it again. You are God. You create. It's what you do in order to experience. You create either with or without intention. Consciously or unconsciously. By Candy Cook.
You got the voodoo in you, but the order so you
Guidelines for Enlightenment by Swami Vyandananda. Be a fundamentalist. Make sure the fun always comes before the mental. Realize that life is a situation comedy that will never be canceled. A laugh track has been provided. Have a good laughsative, as in laughter, twice a day, and that will ensure your regular hilarity. Remember that each of us has been given a special gift just for entering the game of life. So you are already a winner. The MOEX Mozilla status 009E planet today is Tell a Vision. That is where I tell a vision to you and you tell a vision to me. That way, if we don't like the programming we're getting, we can simply change the channel. Life is like photography. You use the negative to develop. It is true, as we go through life thinking heavy thoughts, thought particles tend to get caught between the ears, causing a condition called truth decay. So be sure to use mental floss twice a day. And when you're tempted to practice tantrum yoga, remember we teach in Swami Absurdiveness training class, don't get even, get odd. If we want world peace, we must let go of our attachments and truly live like nomads. That's where I nomad at you, you nomad at me. That way, there will surely be no madness on the planet. And peace begins with each of us. A little peace here, a little peace there. Pretty soon all the pieces will fit together to make one big piece everywhere. I know great earth changes have been predicted for the future. So if you're looking to avoid earthquakes, my advice is simple. Where you find a fault, just don't dwell on it. There's no need to change the world. All we have to do is toilet train the world, and we'll never have to change it again. If you're looking to find the key to the universe, I have some bad news and some good news. The bad news is there's no key to the universe. The good news is it has been left unlocked. Finally, everything I told you is channeled. That way, if you don't like it, you can change the channel. And remember, enlightenment is not a bureaucracy, so we don't have to go through channels.
Burn and cut it down to farm. but
we all know it's doing harm to the animals. There's no place to go. Monkeys rush from tree to tree, calling out for their family. Fire's coming now, must escape somehow. Ooh, it gives us air to breathe. Ooh, the animals call it home. Medicines help you and me. Ooh, help us save it before it's gone. All the birds and all the trees, every insect and every leaf is important too. Here's what we must do. Tell everybody that it's not okay to let the forest just burn away. Got to say it loud, got to say it proud. Ooh, it gives us air to breathe. Ooh, the animals call it home. Medicines help you and me. Ooh, help us save it before it's gone. Ooh, it gives us air to breathe. Ooh, the animals call it home. Medicines help you and me. Ooh, help us save it before it's gone. Ooh, help us save it before it's gone. Ooh, help us save it before it's gone.
Always remember that the freedom you crave in your heart, everyone else is also craving. But do not believe that anyone can ever be free through binding another. When you set a person free, remember that you must set him or her free to have any religion they choose or to have none at all. Set everyone free, and you yourself will be freer to a greater extent. The divine way of freedom has always been that of a spiritual bond uniting individuals in an eternal relationship of love, sharing, and goodwill. As one of its foundational points, a divine way of love has no memberships, no dues. There are no bindings of anyone to anything or others. It not only sets all free, but maintains that freedom. And be conscious how what we do and how we think affects others, the children, our communities, and the earth. Until next time. This is Joy Ray Freeman, wishing joy to the world.